Yes, the world-famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico here in Southern California. This is the decidedly on-mic General Galen Shaw.
Sorry, General.
No, I'm on-mic. And we've got Phil Henry here, along with Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard, and Margaret Gray.
Yes, now, there were a few people saying that the last live podcast, not the one from Mexico, which, by the way,
I don't want to know anything about it. I don't want to hear anything about it.
Well, I'm saying a lot of people, I mean, that's kind of flimsy, man.
Yeah, it's kind of a flimsy job.
Hey, I'm in Mexico.
All right, tell the people, don't tell us. Phil has been explaining this now for, what is this off-mic stuff?
Friday's the Bob Green Today, everybody was saying was off-mic.
Well, then you better get somebody, Bud, you were here.
Yeah.
Then get him on mic.
Well, I don't know anything about it.
Bud, are you, you're the engineer. Excuse me, you're the engineer, right?
God damn, Miss Gray.
Are you the engineer?
Yes.
Then you should have the man on mic.
It's true, Bud. It's true. Anyway, thank you, folks.
Okay, it's true, Bud. It's true. God, start talking to me like I'm some kind of a retard.
Well, you are, man.
Hey, just get the guy on mic, okay? I was listening to it. Bob Green is way off mic. Here, General, you weren't any better.
What do you want from me, man? I'm the staff announcer.
Shit. The staff announcer. All right, so welcome to the Phil Henry Show here. Lots to tell you. First of all, we were in Mexico, as you know. This is our first show back from Mexico. We had our encore show last night, or yesterday, or today, or whenever the hell it is.
It was yesterday.
Yesterday. Monday's show was done Sunday night, and it was an amalgamation, obviously, of a couple of Facebook Lives. Now, I was given to understand by the hotel, the Rosarito Hotel, which is a great hotel. Fantastic hotel. Fantastic food, great entertainment, great drinks, beautiful beach. Only one thing wrong, their Wi-Fi blows duck.
Well said.
Thank you. Their Wi-Fi sucks like everybody's Wi-Fi sucks in this world, except your own personal hotspot or whatever you got going on in your house. I mean, you guys knew what it was like.
When you did Big Sur was the abortion royale. Now, I'm sorry, Phil.
The what?
You heard me right. The Big Sur podcasts of years gone by, those of you that remember the Big Sur podcasts from 2014, I don't know, when you were going up there with Lauren?
Yeah.
They were an abortion on...
Abortion on toast?
Well, I almost said it.
Margaret, that's a hell of a thing for a woman to say.
What has that got to do with anything?
That was great. You're the one that's going to be the one that serves it up.
You dirty little...
Hey, come on. Come on, Margaret, get off him.
I'm not on him for the 900th time.
Well, it feels like it. You're breathing that clam sauce all over you.
Yeah. Hey. Jackasses.
God damn it, son. You go, hey.
I heard that. That was very guttural and grotesque.
What's the point?
You didn't see him, ladies and gentlemen. Phil went, what's the point? Throwing his arms up as if he's just washing his hands of all of us. As if he just went ahead and relieved himself, and now he's saying, well, you know what, why even wash my hands? What's your story?
It's a long one. It's a long one.
The point is this, that when Phil went to Big Sur, wherever you go and you say, oh, whoopee-doo, we're going to do a show from here or there, it blows, as you said, Phil, chimpanzee, not chimpanzee.
Oh, here we go again.
That's right, chimpanzee.
You're right, and Mexico was the same thing. So what we wind up doing is we don't even wind up trying to do any kind of a exclusive podcast for the subscribers. We do a Facebook Live. Or, you know, we can always record it and then we can upload it. Or, yeah, upload it back to. But we decide, hey, man, since it's Sunday night, it's supposed to be a live show. We said, well, we'll go live. We'll do a Facebook Live. Jesus, man, it was like just slow going, man. You know, it was on and it was off, it was on, it was off. So we funded two segments of this thing and sent that down to be uploaded by our good person, our good...
That's good. You don't even know the guy's name, do you?
Oh, my God.
Our good, close, personal friend, Nate, who did the do in the funky ticket, the funky ticket. What is up with me?
I don't know, but I got three guesses, and it starts with T and it ends with A, and that stands for tequila. Oh,
The funky ticket, no, that's,
The... Do the do and the funky chicken too, for Christ on a crutch.
Right. That was, well, you know, it is what it is, man. What do you want from me? From now on, what we're going to do is just go out of town. If we go out of town, we go out of town. I won't even say that we're going out of town. Then we'll deliver a show, and if it sucks, we'll say we're out of town. If it was really good, we'll say, hey, we did that from China. What do you think?
Good thinking.
Thank you. So today, we are back here in studio. And what happened was, and I'll give you just a real quick thumbnail before we move our asses off, and we talked to Tom Dovka.
Oh, not that ass. You're not talking to Tom Dovka.
Yes, why?
Why?
Because Tom Dovka has some input following our trip to Mexico, and...
Yeah, he wants to make sure that Mr. Henry's not running afoul of the audience.
What are you talking about?
He wants to make sure that because he went to Mexico, you're not turning some kind of, you know, you love Mexico and everything.
What? What are you talking about?
What is this? I don't know, man. The guy consults.
He's a consultant, Pete Bone.
Who gives a crap if he consults Pete Bone?
Well, he thought he's consulting you.
He don't consult me.
Well, then you better tell him that.
Tom Dovka, radio consultant, will be with us from Chicago on the show. As I was saying before I was so rudely interrupted.
They didn't rudely interrupt.
I said before I was so rudely interrupted. So we got back from Mexico, and let me tell you something right now, and I'm here to tell you, Jack, it took a long time getting over that GD border, and we got the fast pass, Jack, which means we stick...
Yeah, Philly's going to say, because he's an American.
Yeah, we stick our American faces out the window, we go, hi, and they're supposed to let us through. No, I'm just kidding. You get the fast pass, it puts you into a fast lane. All right. Well, sooner or later, the fast-pass lane gets into the lanes with all the others. It kind of bypasses a lot of traffic is what it does for you. I would recommend it, but, you know, it's up to you. So now you're 200 yards shy of the border, and here's where the fun begins. Slow as hell. And I maintain,
now watch this, Phil.
I maintain that the government has decided to play it cute, slow things up, double-check cars, this, that, because somebody somewhere is pissed off at the progress of this whole border situation, man. So I think the executive branch, without naming any names, has decided to tell the border guys, go real slow, you know.
So you think, let's just say it, Phil, you think Trump is effing with things?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Yeah, Henry, you're a conspiracy theory.
That's not a conspiracy theory, man. That's someone saying, I'll make a point. I'll show them how tough it is at the border. I'll just slow things up, man. Hey, we had a threat, this, that. They can do it, man. One word from the prez, and those cats can just drag their ass. Now, this cat that was checking my truck today, good man, U.S. officer, you know, God love you, brother. But, you know, he's kind of like, yeah, hey.
Well, what is that supposed to mean?
Oh, he's taking his time around the back. You got any booze? Yeah, I got a bottle of tequila. What about it, man? I already told you that 1,800 times. Oh, yeah, that's right. Then he's back, and when was the last time you were in Mexico? Last February, like I told you a minute ago. And
so you were having to repeat everything.
Yes, having to repeat everything. And he was also training somebody and so on and so forth.
Let me tell you something, Phil. You want to play at cutesy-poo with these guys, they'll just turn you around and send you back into Mexico.
No, they won't. No, they won't.
What makes you think they won't?
Because they don't have that right. Because I'll turn around and go to a consulate or someplace, and I'll say, hey, I'm an American national kept out of my own country by some guy with his thumb up his ass. How about that?
Yeah, Mr. Henry, they're not going to care. They're ruthless.
Oh, get out of here.
Well, what? So what happened?
So they let us through. I mean, I didn't give the guy a hard time at all. He wouldn't even know that I was thinking the thoughts I was thinking. But the thoughts I was thinking
were the thoughts you were thinking.
Yeah, and they were thought, too.
Yeah, the thoughts I was thinking were the thoughts I was thinking. Oh, man.
So anyway,
that brings us to today. Oh, yeah, so I got home and Brea, you know.
Now, little Brea had to be reboarded because Phil suddenly finds out he's got a job tomorrow. What does that mean for the rest of us?
I'll let you know, Margaret, okay?
Okay, Phil, what an asshole, man.
God damn, Phil.
Well, listen, you guys keep asking me, when are you going to be working? Are we going to do a show? I don't know, but here's the thing. I got a job tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday, which necessitates me being away from the house in the evening hour, so I can't give Brea her insulin, which means I got to board her, so I had to turn right around. After I got her out of the hospital boarding thing, I had to turn right around and reboard her.
Because you weren't sure you would be home.
No, I don't know. I don't know what time I'll be home all three nights. So we do an encore show on Thursday. It is very likely, folks, Friday we will not have a chat because of the work situation. I'm working late on Friday night. I apologize. And we probably won't have a Saturday cinema, but I will make it up. And my brother, Jeff Baker, I want to tell you, Jeff, I'm going to call you, okay, because I know we have some things to talk about. And I'm sorry that I've been, but I just got this job, and I almost didn't make it because I got a call saying, well, you got a job. And I'm like, I'm in Mexico. Well, that's nice. Better get your ass back. So there you go.
At what time distinctly did you cross the border?
We crossed the border this morning at, wait a minute.
Got a message coming in.
He's got a Mexican coming in.
He's got a message coming in.
I got a message.
Who is that from?
From a friend. Now I forget what the hell it was I was talking about. Thanks a lot.
All right, let's get into the show.
All right, we're going to get into the show here. The world famous Phil Friendly Show.
Friendly Phil.
Right after these messages.
Hi, everybody. This is Tom Dofka. I want you to know, as much as I can't stand the Phil Henry Show, because I'm a radio consultant and a radio executive, and I like low-hanging fruit. That is, I like programs, radio shows. I don't have to actually go out and work hard to promote it, to sell. And the Phil Henry Show is a really tough sell, because I have to explain it to people. Even though a lot of people tell me it's funny, I don't understand it. And so this is Tom Dofka reminding you that even if I hate the Phil Henry Show, if I come through your front door and I say, hey, I'm Tom Dofka, I want to sell the show, it will buy airtime. I hope it'll do it. By the way, I'm another guy with a nose condition on this program.
Tom Dofka, one of many who promotes and endorses the world-famous...
Phil Henry Show.
Flurry Show? Is that what you said?
Phil Henry Show.
Oh. Hey, it's Phil Henry here, and I advise you very, very strongly to get a backstage pass to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Why? Because that's your best opportunity to listen to all 35,000-plus hours of the greatest radio show in the history of God and man on this planet. Shows that were ear-splittingly, mind-numbingly, record-breakingly funny, and record-breaking and mind-numbing. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Get a subscription. I was going to say get a description. You can get a description at the website, philhenryshow.com.
And then you can get a subscription at philhenryshow.com for 1 year.
You said Dobcom.
I'm going to kick some...
Hey, wait a minute, wait.
Kick your ass.
philhenryshow.com. Get a subscription for a year or a month. Jack. World-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, here from the El Pacifico in Southern California. It is the 19th day of December, on our way to another Christmas year in this year, 2018. Tom Dofka is joining us from the Kroner Building in Chicago. We just got back from the great country of Mexico. And I know you'd been talking to Pete Bone, and Pete said to go ahead and talk to me.
I thought maybe Pete could fill you in on a couple of things, but...
You know, Tom, I respect you very much. I appreciate you taking the time. You know that you don't work for my show.
I know I don't work for your show. I never said that I did work for your show. I'm offering this advice as one friend to another, Phil.
What are you offering this advice, Tom, so that Phil hires your consultancy or something?
No, I. You know what? Let me say something. It might have been my intention. So it cleared the air, and I'm not, there's no ill will here, but I want to tell you, it might have been my intention to hire, or for have to Phil hire me, and Tom Dofka Radio Consultancy, but now that I hear you guys asking me that question, I have to tell you, I'm very offended by it, and I would not, and we'd remain friends, but I wouldn't work for you, Phil, and I'm saying this, wanting to be your friend, I wouldn't work for you if you'd have to get on your knees and beg. And
all right, let's be friends here.
Well, that's my point.
Well, what was this thing that Pete Bone said? Yeah, what was Pete? Pete was saying to me, you need to hire Tom Dofka. He's going to be on, and he'll give you a pitch.
I never told that. I respect Pete Bone. And do you know that Pete married into my family, Phil?
Pete married into your family? His wife is...
His wife is my sister, right. And I, you know, the idea that Pete Bone is anything other than a brother to me is ridiculous. But that man is as dishonest as any human being I've ever met before in my life. And I consult his radio show, but he is a dishonest human being. I never said anything to him about wanting to work for you or pitch you. I said, I think I can help out Phil Henry. And I said, you know, to Pete, do you think Henry would want my advice? That's about it.
And from that, Pete thought it meant...
Pete, I guess, I don't know, you talk to him.
Well, he said to me that, hey, you know, you give Tom a listen because you may, you know, want to hire him for your business and he's going to pitch you.
Oh, bullshit.
I will watch it. I know it's upsetting to you, Tom, but...
I'm sorry, but boy, that really... That just absolutely infuriates me. That drug-addicted
Well, now, hold on.
I'm sorry.
You're telling me that Pete Bone is a drug addict?
Not anymore, no, he isn't.
All right, well, let's not start dragging a guy's life through the mud.
That is really uncalled for, Tom. Pete Bone is a drug addict?
He's a drug addict. He's a degenerate drug addict. And I'm sorry that I even brought it up, but I'm...
Well, now we got ourselves a problem.
I'm sorry, but for him to say that I pitched, that I'm going to pitch you, I never said I was going to pitch you.
Let's end it right now, okay? You got a big problem now. You're going to have to explain that to Pete.
I'm going
to
explain what?
You call the man a drug addict? You call him a degenerate drug addict?
He is. Pete Bone is a degenerate drug addict. He is a drug addict. How else do I put it?
He is actively using drugs now.
No. He's a drug addict, meaning once an addict, always an addict.
But he doesn't use drugs.
Not anymore, he doesn't, no. But at one time, he was a sewer-dwelling drug rat, is what I would call him. There wasn't much left of his self-esteem. There wasn't much left of anything that you could call a man. When I first met Pete Bone, he could barely feed himself. He urinated himself. Laughing, that's great.
What are you laughing at, Phil?
I don't know.
Yeah, you're going to have to pull it together, Phil.
Get it, Jerry.
Yeah, you know, it's not a very funny story. When I first met Pete Bone, he urinated himself. He could barely feed himself. Yeah, he was sitting on a sidewalk.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. He was sitting on a sidewalk with a sign that said, "Will you help me?" And he had a tin can there, and people were tossing coins in it. And I could smell the urine from about a block off. I said, "When's the last time anybody bathed you?" He said, "I haven't had a bath." And he said, "I'm just trying to get a couple of bucks together for a bottle of fortified wine or something."
You're telling me that when you met Pete Bone...
Yes, how many times do I got to tell you this?
When you met Pete Bone, he was a drug addict, alcoholic...
Yes, living on a drug addict. He was already a heroin addict as well as an alcoholic. And was in trouble with, I don't know, a half a dozen people wanting to kill him, you know, for just running out on them and not paying for drugs, or he just, you know, turning people over to police, or just to get it, so the undercover cops would give him a fix. It was a terrible thing.
Where was this, Chicago?
This was in Chicago, yeah. I took over a friend of mine's house who... is good at cleaning up these addicts, and they took him over here to Swallow Hill, which is a drug addict cleanup house. And
what is it called?
Called Swallow Hill.
And that's where the addicts go and dry out, huh?
Well, you don't dry out, but you detox off the drugs, you know. And anyway, so he cleaned up, and we put him on the air. It turned out to be a pretty good talk show host.
Did this guy have any radio before you met him?
Pete, no.
What had he done before you met him?
He was selling ice cream.
He was selling ice cream?
Yes, he drove an ice cream truck. That's what he did. And I simply, as a means of being a good Samaritan, took him off the street and cleaned him up.
I never knew this story. So, and then Pete Bone goes from being a guy that...
It's a funny story, you know, I'll grant you that, but it was pretty pathetic.
And this guy is sitting there in his own urine.
He's sitting in his own urine. He hadn't eaten. He's got losing teeth. He smelled like you've never smelled anything like it before in your life. Like he was a combination that he'd crapped in his pants, so he'd been sitting in his own filth for a week. And all of this, you know, he'd hit the bottom of the barrel. There's no question about it. He'd hit rock bottom. And I picked him up and took him over here to Swallow House. They hosed him off. They rinsed him off. They had to turn on a hose on him for about a good 6 hours before they could even get near him to bathe him. And they finally got him, and they took him to a doctor, and they put him a kind of a detox program to get off the heroin and the alcohol.
And so now the guy is a...
Now the guy is a backstabbing, lying... He was a drug addict, always a drug addict, as far as I'm concerned.
Now I want to say something to you, Tom. You obviously have a problem with him because you've come and spilled his entire truth out on this show.
Well, nobody said... If he said about what you said, what about he said,
What are you? What I told you is that he told me that you said you wanted to pitch Phil Hendry.
I never said I wanted to pitch Phil Hendry.
All right, so you never said that, and he was wrong or he's lying. You think it was worth it to spill his life secrets out like that?
It's not a secret. Are you kidding? Everybody knows the story of Pete Bone.
I don't know it. I don't think Phil knows it or anyone here.
Well, you guys are the last to know. Everyone who listens to Pete Bone knows that he would. This is why he's successful and why he's such a gigantic star at talk radio.
And he's such a conservative, too, to think at one time he'd given his life over to drugs, to alcohol.
Yeah, well, you'd figure a guy like that knows, you know? He knows what a liberal lifestyle could do to you.
Yeah, there's a liberal lifestyle for you, Phil.
That's right. All liberals are drug addicts and alcoholics. That's me.
Well, you love that idea. You like your tequila.
I'm not an alcoholic, pal, okay? I go to work every day, and I raise, you know, I make money, and I pay my bills, and I'm not in DUIs or anything. I like a drink. If that makes a guy an alcoholic, then, buddy, you better redefine that.
Well, I don't know. You drink tequila, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty hardcore, but talk about a guy drink tequila.
Well, that doesn't make you an alcoholic because you know how to hold a drink.
Oh, I see. So if we... Because I vomit. Well,
do you throw up when you drink tequila?
I throw up when I drink. Who doesn't throw up when they drink tequila?
Phil Hendry.
Yeah, but Hendry doesn't.
All right, so Phil Hendry, you're part Irish, aren't you, Phil?
Yeah.
You got that thick Irish blood, you know.
Oh, get out of here with that. So we're talking here.
Well, what do you mean get out of here?
What do you mean get the thick Irish blood? There's no such thing. We're talking here with Tom Dovka.
Well, you don't think...
Tom, hold on. We're talking here with Tom Dovka, radio consultant, who is coming on the program to give me a little bit of advice on the show. As it turns out, according to Pete Bone, Pete said that Tom wanted to pitch me.
I did not want to pitch you.
No, I know that, but I'm just letting the audience know that Tom wanted to pitch me as a radio to consult my show, and Tom said he never talked to Pete about that at all.
No, I did not.
And in your anger, you've spilled all his secrets about being a drug addict and about being...
Yeah, about being homeless and sitting in his own urine and feces.
Yeah, but I'm not spilling any secrets, so I'm trying to tell you. Everybody in radio knows the Pete Bone story, that he was a degenerate, alley-dwelling, just filth was his middle name. Dirt, filth, fecal, the fecal...
Okay, Tom Dovka with us on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I just got back from Mexico, Tom. You wanted to come on and talk with us about that.
Yeah, I did. I mean, and it all started when Pete says Phil Hendry's in Mexico. I said, oh, well, okay. And then I gave him a few ideas about what I thought of that. He said, well, you should tell Phil that. I said, okay. But I never said I was going to pitch you.
All right, let's just, say that didn't happen.
Thank you.
What do you think about my trip to Mexico?
Well, I think, first of all, you have to understand, if you start out by you're knocking at Border Patrol, they're there to do a job.
I didn't mean to knock the Border Patrol. I'm saying that they're getting some input, they're getting direction from somebody who isn't the most honest person in the world.
Okay, well, look, there's no secret, Phil, what you think about the president of America. But you coming on and saying you like, did you say you like Mexico?
Yeah.
Yes, Phil likes Mexico very. We all do, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I think Mexico is pretty good.
What about you, Robert?
Yeah, I think it is.
What about you, General?
What's wrong with Mexico?
Well, what's wrong with Mexico is they're the ones that are calling. I'm a radio consultant, so I would say to you, Phil, you don't want to be talking about Mexico as being a good place, because we are in the middle of getting the American people to see Mexico as a stew pot of immigrants that are going to crawl into your house and live under your bed, and you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, all of it horse dung.
Well, no. See, the immigration problem...
Look, Tom, I'm not going to debate the immigration problem with you. You want me to come on and talk about Mexico as being some cesspool.
Well, it is a cesspool. That's where all the immigrants are coming from. And the Pete Bone Show, among many other conservative talk shows in America, are alerting American people to that and letting them know it's a big toilet bowl. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. It's the same old stupid stuff, man.
Well, if you want people to take you seriously as a radio commentator.
Well, that's just, Phil doesn't want people to take him seriously, do you, Phil?
No, I don't, to be honest with you.
Oh, you don't? Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Nobody wants...
Well, Phil doesn't because he's not really all that political.
Oh, my... I've seen his commentary on Twitter.
I don't want my netcast... I came back from Mexico. I had a good time. You're telling me to speak positively about Mexico.
You're talking positive about Mexico. Believe me, Phil, as a radio consultant, you're going to get people who are going to look at you and say, well, wait a second, isn't that where all the invasion of the body snatch, you know, with the foreigners and the communist infiltrators and terrorists and everything?
Well, if that's the way they think, that's the way they think, but I...
And I'm just telling you, it's very tricky. So if you're going to talk about Mexico, you have to do it in a way that is going to, you know, you're not really, you don't think it's all that cool.
Well, I'm sorry, but I do.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Hey, Phil, Mexico...
Yeah, I know. It's where all the terrorists are from, and...
And then you said that they slowed the border up on purpose. What proof do you have of that?
I don't have any proof, but you know what? I that's my opinion. I think they did it on purpose. I think they're doing it on purpose because they want to make it appear as if there's, wow, a real big threat happening. This is all part and parcel of trying to sell that GD border wall.
Oh, no, hold on, hold on. So that's where you're blowing it bad. I was willing to... You know, but you're blowing it bad there.
You're willing to do what?
I was willing to overlook some of these other comments. But don't talk about the border wall if you want to be a talk radio.
I don't. That's just it.
You don't. You don't want to be a talk radio.
What makes you think Phil wants to be on talk radio?
Because he was on talk radio.
I don't want to be on talk radio.
Well, I'm telling you, you're not going to be able to be on talk radio with opinions you got.
Well, you know what? You're saying that I want to be on conservative talk radio. I don't want to be on any. But the fact is, I'm not a conservative talk show host.
Well, boy, what other kind is there?
What? There's a good question.
Yeah, that, we've been trying to figure that out, too.
All right. I'm sorry that I took up your time. I thought you wanted to be on the conservative talk radio, and I heard you talking all this back about loving Mexico. And you can't do that if you want to be a conservative talk radio.
No, I understand, yeah. I've got to be really stupid, and I've got to have a lot of stupid opinions about Mexico. Is that it?
No, Phil. You know, I if you want to make a name for yourself in conservative talk radio... I'm the guy who can help you. I'm Tom Dofka. Okay? You got my number? Please call me.
Yeah, and if you ever get angry at me, you'll just start spilling out all the facts about my personal life if I ever happen to have a drug problem.
I had nothing to do with any of that. That stuff came to light, okay, long before I ever told you about it. Pete Bone was far out to tell people about it.
Well, so Pete Bone was giving interviews.
Yeah, Pete Bone was giving interviews saying that he's a drug addict, a degenerate, a pervert, laid there in an alley or on a sidewalk in his own feces and peeing himself.
Before he became a big-time conservative talk show host.
That's right. I suppose you're going to try to make that into something, huh? Phil, a lot of guys came up to tell. Sean Hannity wasn't always a snappy dresser and a smart guy. As a kid, Sean Hannity was walking around the streets of Santa Barbara. He didn't know whether he was going to flip or fall in it. He didn't have a dime one to his name. He's long. He's bothering women at bus stops.
Oh, get out of here.
I'm telling you, that's what I was told by Rafael Voorhees, if you never talked to him about it.
Rafael Voorhees? I don't even know who that is.
Oh, my God.
Well, who the hell's Rafael Voorhees? You ever heard of Jason Voorhees?
Isn't that funny? He's talking about Friday the 13th? I'm talking about Rafael Voorhees was one of the top talk show hosts in Santa Barbara.
Well, who gives a shit, man? So, you know...
Okay, if you're going to talk like that, so I just would like to say goodbye. Is that all right with you?
Rafael Voorhees, one of the top talk shows in Santa Barbara. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. That's fine.
I'm not no maybe. Yes, he is.
Okay, and?
And he told me that Sean Hannity used to wander the streets of Santa Barbara, bothering women at bus stops, looking for cigarette butts. He was lost.
Until what? Till he met Tom Dofka?
Yeah. I wish it was made. No, he met somebody else. I don't know who. I think it was a guy that was, you know, operating a male prostitution ring. But it grew from there. It got better.
You know, Tom, you ought to write a book, brother.
Yeah, write a book with all half of the horse dung, and good luck not getting sued by Sean Hannity.
Oh, he's not going to sue me any more than Pete Bonas sued me.
Well, and you also spilled a bunch of stuff about him today. Thank you very, very much. It's been good talking to you, Tom Dovka.
All right, Phil. Thanks, everybody.
On the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, the Phil Hendry Show is brought to you by Dr. Newcomb's Eye Care. I know a lot of you are developing what's called Cyclops Eye. You watch so much television, both eyes just blend together and become one gigantic eye. Dr. Newcomb can give you two eyeballs yet again, but you have to do exactly what he says. No ifs, ands, or buts, and no, I won't tell you what that is. Dr. Newcomb, get rid of Cyclops Eye today. A group called the Ex-Cops. Spring Break birthday song. Cool song. Cool song. What is wrong with me, man?
What's wrong with you? 3 days in Mexico. That's what's wrong with you.
Well, to that end, we're going to bring on now Chef Carl Cedilia. Chef Cedilia, as you know, is the head chef at Ted's of Beverly Hills. And I got to tell you, Chef, off my diet I went. Now, you know that I'm on a diet, and I am cool with my diet. I'm still on the diet, all that stuff. But I did go off, and you got to go off diets when you're on vacation, right?
Absolutely. You have to go off diets when you're on vacation, yes. And there's no reason why you can't enjoy a few days of fun, a few days of good cuisine. And I'm with you, Phil. Mexico has some of the greatest cuisine in the world. You've got to really enjoy, if you really enjoy food, I should say, you got to really enjoy food to enjoy Mexican food, but then you if you really enjoy food, you would enjoy it.
What?
I'm...
Never mind. We understand, Chef.
All right, so... I don't blame you.
I mean, what I'm saying is...
Well, you don't have to justify it to me.
I'm not trying to justify it. I'm just saying that for 3 days, yeah. But I didn't eat anything...
You didn't eat any crap, did you?
No, I didn't eat crap. I mean, I ate stuff that I've always wanted to eat. I had great breakfasts, you know, but we had chili chilies and...
Oh, yeah, the chili chilies. We also had tamales.
Oh, my God. We had homemade, well, I guess it's the same thing, right?
Yes, if they're homemade tamales, they're handmade. Oh, my God.
Get out of here.
All right. They were...
They were handmade...
By the way, you sound an awful lot like Tom Dovka.
Thank you for that insult. They were handmade?
Yes, they're handmade.
All right. So if they're homemade, they were handmade tamales.
They were obviously homemade.
Well, you had them in a restaurant, though.
Yes, that's the thing.
Well, they weren't homemade then.
Yeah.
All right, they were restaurant-made, handmade.
Restaurant-made, handmade tamales. All right, so you've taken the luster off of it already by saying they were handmade, but they were restaurant-made. You see? So they're not homemade.
Whatever, man!
Whatever, man!
Hey, Phil, it's Ted.
What happened to the chef?
Chef, you gonna... He's a little upset with you. This is not a Ted Bell segment, so I don't want you to think I'm controlling things, but Chef Cedilia is getting ready. He's got our Christmas menu.
Oh, he's working very hard.
Yeah, he's working very hard, and...
Oh, I see, and I'm not.
I've heard that. Give me the phone. Give me the phone. Hey, Phil, yes, you're working real hard, okay? But so am I. Now, I came on your program tonight to give you advice about eating like a barnyard animal while you're in... Hey, you were overdoing it, huh? I've got the phone, Ted. Okay, I own the restaurant. See, he pulls rank on me.
Are we interrupting anything? Yeah, are you two having a lover's quarrel?
Oh, isn't that... I heard that. I'm talking to Phil Hendry here. What a lover's quarrel.
Yeah, that was very distasteful.
Okay, I guess I should say goodbye, huh?
No, I'm going to tell you. Listen, Phil. You go to Mexico and you eat like something that lives in a barn, and you're going to regret it. But I know that you didn't. I know that you kept a lid on it.
It wasn't so much I kept a lid on it. Isn't it true that if you're eating like normally, okay? If you eat normally... Then you are you know, you're going to reset your metabolism.
What?
You know what? I'll talk to him about it, Chef Chedilia.
I'm just trying to tell you, Phil.
Never mind.
Give me the phone. Don't pull the phone away from me, you queer. What did you call... Phil, we have to get going.
All right, I heard that.
Oh, no. I'm working my ass off for you to try to keep this restaurant full of human beings. I'm trying to keep this restaurant filled with human beings, Ted. And not a lot of the wastrel, not a lot of the show business. A lot of these guys that are kind of cadge drinks. Cadgy drinks?
Yeah.
You got a lot of lightweights. As soon as 9 o'clock rolls around, it's like a bum's rush to the bar in this joint, Phil, of every out-of-work actor. So anyway, Phil, thank you very much. My phone. All right, then take your phone and stick it in your ass. All right, I quit. You can't quit. Hold on, Phil.
No, I'm not holding on.
Come on. I'm only kidding. Now get away. Get away from me, will you? It's my restaurant. Get away from me.
Are you hearing this? I am. I'm not believing it.
Told you to get away from me, Ted. I got work to do in the kitchen. I'm going to take care of Henry here and his little podcast. You piss off. It's my restaurant. Yeah, it's your restaurant, all right. Thank God for that, too. Because if it was my restaurant, the first thing I'd do if this was my restaurant, I'd go get shots. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Go ahead, fire me. Phil... In conclusion...
That was the most incredible exchange I've heard ever on this show.
I have to agree. You really want to continue talking with us after insulting him like that?
Insulting him? He's ordering me around like I'm his jail bitch. He didn't get back in the kitchen. You hear that? Hello?
Yeah.
Give me the phone. Don't give me the phone. Hi, Phil. Ted Bell here. Ladies and gentlemen, if you could find it in yourselves to forget everything you've just heard... I'm Ted Bell. I'm Ted Bell. That wasn't. I'm Chef Bell. Who gives a shit if you're shit?
Would you guys grow up? Because everybody can hear this, okay? We got tens of thousands of downloads a day.
Downloads?
Downloads a day.
Give me the phone. I'm grabbing the phone from you. Hi, I'm Chef Carl Chedilia. Ted Bell is an absolute disgrace the way he's talked to me this evening. Treating me like I'm his jail punk. Well, I apologize, please.
Hang up on him.
Oh, no, don't.
What was that supposed to be? That was supposed to be Chef Chedilia talking to me about going off my diet in Mexico and how I can get back on it and how it's not the end of the world. You know, folks, sometimes...
Oh, Phil's going to justify, even after what he heard, he's going to start justifying his diet.
I don't care what happens to those guys, okay?
You don't care?
No, I don't. He's a sponsor, we'll get a new one. What happens, folks, is you do reset your metabolism. So you may be on a diet. Going out and having a big meal is not going to bust your diet. Sometimes it helps burn those calories faster because your metabolism is reset. Your body doesn't think it's in starvation mode as it may think while you're on your diet.
All right.
Never mind, bud.
But if you go one more time, oh my God, the places that they'll find your head... The imagination I'm going to put into that.
What does that mean?
It means...
You're going to start thinking of creative places to put his head? Oh!
That is great. You may need a psychiatrist or something.
Oh, I need a psychiatrist. Don't worry about that.
World-famous Phil Henry Show, executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved on Podcast One.
I never thought that you'd be